A little body trouble. I need to lose about 50 pounds, but that's a story for another day. Or convert it to muscle like Art does. Yeah, I don't know how that works, but well, I know how that works, but I'm just not there yet. So, no, it'll take a while. Take a while, but I'll be working on it. This is our time for praises, prayer requests. If you have something you'd like to share with everybody, if you're a visitor and you'd like to come up and tell us who you are and where you came from and all, it's an open mic time for everybody. I'll go ahead and start. I asked prayer for my younger sister Mary, and she's back at the assisted living home she was at before. She's still not willing to move to a better home. My brother wrote me yesterday, please continue to pray that she'll be willing to move to a better place. This other home they're trying to move her to is owned by a Christian, and it's a very well run. The place she's at now is it's just not the best place for her. So if you could continue to pray for my sister Mary. One thing the hospital did for her that I didn't know existed, she's been prescribed medication for many years, and her biggest problems come when she doesn't take it. So this hospital gave her a 30-day shot, a one-month injection. I didn't know that existed, but there is such a thing. I guess it's a very slow time release, and she's thinking much more clearly now. So it's really helped her thinking to get that, because she always seems to stop taking any kind of oral medication. So that's a praise that she's getting some help. But if you could pray that she would be willing to, I hope that's not my cup, maybe not. If she'd be willing to move to a new place. I just ask for her to be compliant and cooperative, be willing to get into some kind of outpatient program of some sort. So please pray for my sister Mary. Praise and prayer requests for our son Micah. I asked prayer last week that he would be willing to go to the doctor's appointment on Tuesday. And the night before, he told my wife, yeah, sure, I'm going to go, I'll go. And then that morning, my wife went in to wake him up, and he said, yes, yes, I'm going. And the time was getting close, and he wasn't ready, and we were praying and thinking, oh, God, we've asked prayer for this. We're praying for it. But it didn't look like he was willing to go. So we said, well, we'll go to the car. And we were just there in the car just praying again, and he came to the car. I started driving down the street, the narrow street that runs to the main road from our house, and he suddenly opened the door, and I had a moment of decision. I thought, now do I step on the accelerator so he won't dare jump out? But I could see he was moving that way, so I thought, no, I've seen scenes in the movies where people get thrown from a car at 50 miles an hour. No, I don't want that to happen. So I slowed down, and he did. He jumped out of the car, and Toshi, I stopped the car. This was a side road. There's no traffic. I stopped the car, and my wife got out and went back and talked to him, and after a few minutes, he came back to the car. So I thought, oh, God is answering prayer. We prayed he would make it to the appointment, and we're on our way. So we got to Kusatsu Byoin, and it's a very nice hospital. Have you been there before? Very beautiful hospital. If you have any such problems, I'd recommend that place. It's a really beautiful place, a very nice building. And they went in, my wife and Micah. My wife thought I should stay in the car, so she went in with Micah. And they were in there for, it was more than a couple of hours. I'm sure it might have been as much as 2.5 hours. They went in and got to see the doctor, and the doctor wanted the whole story of our son from the beginning. And he was asking Micah himself, and so the parts Micah couldn't say, like events surrounding his birth and things like that, you know, my wife filled in. But he told as much of the story as he could to the doctor of what's happened throughout his life. And Kusatsu Byoin has a program called Stress Care, and it's kind of like, my wife said, it's almost like hotel rooms where there's very little maintenance or control, or you know, it's for people who need a rest, and that's what Micah wanted to go into. He'd read about it online, but the doctor said no. The doctor didn't think that was the place he should it was a little bit too free. There's no supervision. The doctor recommended the Hachibyoto, which is another building at Kusatsubyo. And so my wife and my son went to see that one. And that's more like a traditional hospital settings where they keep all the doors locked and they have the supervisory staff and it's, you know, it's that kind of a thing. And after they saw it, Micah said, no, I don't want to go into this kind of a place like Hachibyoto. So he said, I really want stress care. So they went back to talk to the doctor again. But the doctor said, no, the stress care is not really designed for, it would not be helpful for him, really, to go into something like stress care. So he was not admitted there. He was not, that was, we were hoping he would be able to get some help there. And we think he did. That doctor is a good doctor. And I think we'll be able to go back and follow up on this. So just ask your prayer that that we could continue to follow up on our help with Micah, whatever we need to do with him. Thank you for your prayers. We believe God really miraculously answered them. I've never had that situation where someone's about to jump out and I'm making a decision to speed up or slow down. So God really answered prayer there. Thank you for your prayers. Yes. The doctor told my wife that they don't really deal, I guess, as I understand it. Are you here, Toshi? Is that what the doctor said? That he didn't get a physical at all, right? Did he get a physical? No blood work or anything? No physical? They don't do such things, the doctor had said, basically.
I misunderstood. I thought that's what
they would do. Well, actually, that was my original understanding, too. I thought that would be part of it. But the doctor specifically told them that, no, we don't do that. I wish they had. The doctor said, go back to Shimin Byoin. They'll do your physical work at Shimin Byoin. And, of course, we've taken him there before that he never went into that place either. So please pray for, please pray that we continue to seek help for our son and that we'll find the right help, that he'll become willing to get the help that he needs, that we can keep proactively seeking for whatever we need to do related to him. Just one more thing for me. End of the year is coming up. I hope some of others of you that maybe I could talk to or you could give me your advice. There's a big Bowenenkai end of year party at my school. I hate these parties because I don't drink alcohol at all. And of course, there's a lot of drinking at my school's parties. But I really have to go for a number of reasons. And the department I'm in is kind of far away on our campus from that department's building. I'm an English teacher. I teach for the pharmacy department because they just spread the English teachers around. And so I don't really know the people there, and I've had more and more of a need to get to know people in my department, to get help with a lot of stuff, for one thing, and to work through issues of all the work, all the administrative type stuff comes down through the department. And I'm the only English teacher in the department. I'm the only foreigner there. So I'll just ask if you could pray that I could be a good witness. I could have a good testimony, but I could be a friendly and approachable person there. I get really nervous in these kinds of places. If you've had that experience, I'd love to hear your story. But if you could pray for me this week. That's on Wednesday. They're going to have that Wednesday night. So if you could please pray for me. So my younger sister Mary, my son Micah, and my Bowenenkai coming up. But please, anything you'd like to share, praise, testimony, introduction, if you'd like to introduce yourself or whatever. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Hello. My name is Nadine. I'm from Jamaica. I'm sorry, Art. I won't speak Jamaican, okay?
You don't sound Jamaican to me.
All right, okay. He wants me to speak Jamaican, but if I speak Jamaican, you won't understand. All right, Art?
Yeah.
All right, my bad. All right, cool. All right, so I want to share an interesting experience at school just last week. I'd never had that experience before. But I just want to say that must have been God. So it's coming to the end of the year, and one teacher for the He's a Ichinense high school Ichinense teacher. He's in charge of the English program. So I heard him joking with another teacher that we should probably do a Christmas lesson. And he was saying, yeah, let them read the Bible. So I think he was just joking. So the other teacher said, ha, kitsui na. All right, so I was kind of listening. And so then he came to us because there are three ALTs at that school. And he said, we want to do a Christmas lesson. What should we do? So I got quite excited. I was like, let's read the Bible. So the other ALTs were like, huh? Do you want your company to call you and say no? So I was like, no, but I'm not going to tell them or preach to them, come on, you must accept Jesus. We're just going to tell the Christmas story. I think that's okay. So he said, so the teacher was saying, I'd like to hear about this Christmas story. We've never heard about this Christmas story from the Bible. And I don't think the students know about this Jesus Christ. So that's what the teacher was saying. So I was like, wow, a teacher is asking for about Jesus. Well, just the Christmas story. So I started praying. I was like, God, what do I say? How do I say this? I mean, so I really prayed about it, and I did a PowerPoint presentation, but it was really like a little church service. So I was like, wow. So, I mean, for me, it was so interesting that I'd never seen God do something like that before, because I'd never asked to teach about Christmas. The teacher asked, and I was like, wow. So God, I mean, just looking at the students' faces while they were listening on Friday, it was like a moving experience for me, because especially I felt like, why am I in Japan? I'm going through that kind of thing right now, like, why am I here? And to see that God just did something like that, it really moved me. So even though I was telling people, it was also ministering to me that God can just open doors just like that, that those students or the teachers could hear about Jesus Christ just like that. So I have to do this lesson tomorrow, two times again. Too bad. Sarcasm has been so lost on me here in Japan. I'm sorry. So I'll do it two times tomorrow. So please pray that, you know, that even the students who are listening and the teachers, that, you know, they will get an interest even in hearing about Jesus Christ a little more. So bless God for that.
Hello, everyone. I'm Miwa. Nice to meet you. I have a prayer's request. Next week, first of all, thank you for praying for my asthma. My asthma is very, very good condition now. So Gospel Choir has, next week, Gospel Choir has a concert in Madame Joy in Sendamachi. It's kind of a supermarket, kind of mall like this. Please pray for the gospel touch some non-believers' hearts and Kamisama no ai wo tsutaeru koto ga dekimasu you ni oinori shite kudasai. Onegai shimasu.
Hi, I'm Darcy. And I've shared this about with you guys a little bit, how this next Saturday we'll get the opportunity to share about our adoption story at a cafe near our house. I'll also play a little live on the first part of that, about 30-minute live. So this week has been really sweet about this. So I'll be playing a couple of songs of that live with our new friend Doi-san. Doi-san's actually Fernando's friend, a non-Christian Japanese man who's actually an incredible carpenter. He's retired. He's built our chicken house for us, and it's like, if there's an earthquake, we should go into the chicken house. So strong. But he also is a really gifted guitarist. And when Fernando first brought him to the house, he saw my guitar, and he was playing around on the guitar, and we were singing together, playing together. So we're going to sing two songs together, Beatles song, in Pink Floyd. Okay, he's doing the "Wish You Were Here." Like, he can do this. Anyway, so we're having our rehearsal. Like, Doi-san speaks very little English, and I've never really worked with just one other Japanese person and tried to make music together, just all in Japanese. And he's a new friend, but I really like him. I feel really comfortable with him, so we make it work. And I'm telling him how Art and I have been talking about him and how he's such a treasure to our family, because he comes out and he spends all this time working with us, and he's so generous with himself, and he just kind of gets a nice little look on his face. And he was saying how his best friend died this year. And I was like, when did your best friend die? In October, just recently. And he said, but now I have new friends. Oh. And I was really touched. Like, we don't know what difference it makes to anybody that we are just friends with them. And here I am, like, 41-year-old woman, like, hanging out with, like, a 65-year-old Japanese guy. We can, like, kind of communicate. But we have music, and we're talking about how music is this wonderful bridge. And anyway, so he's going to come to the cafe, of course, to perform with me. His wife's going to come. They're going to stay for the talk, the adoption talk afterwards, in which we're going to talk all about the gospel. Because it's our opportunity. Our friends who run the cafe, Daichi and Eriko, we'd love for you to pray for them as well. Pray for Doi-san, Daichi, and Eriko. We'd love for these three to know Jesus. But Daichi and Eriko wanted to meet with me and my friend Kyoko Clenenden, who's the wife of our team leader, our missions team leader here in Hiroshima. She's going to translate for us for the talk. And they wanted to meet with us beforehand so they could just talk through details and this and that. But the big thing it seemed like Daichi wanted to make sure that I knew is that he's like, so in the talk, like, you can totally talk about, like, you know, why you're a Christian and, like, why you moved here and about Christianity. Like, I just want you to make sure that you know that. That's, like, that's great. Okay. because they're like, people want to hear the adoption story, but they also want to know, like, why you moved here and, like, what God did that, like, made you want to move here. And, like, I can hear in his own voice kind of like a question of, like, I kind of get it about you guys, but, like, I want to hear it. And so Kyoko and I were, like, freaking out, like, you know, yeah, sure, we'll talk about this. And Kyoko had also brought them a gift of a CD that two Christian Japanese friends of hers had made. Four songs, three original songs on this CD of Christmas music. And so she gave them a copy of this CD. And they're artists, and they see the cover art, which is, it's Mary and Joseph, and Mary's on the donkey, and they're heading to Bethlehem. And they're, like, commenting on the art. I'm like, Kyoko, like, explain, like, the art. Like, not just, like, who made it, but, like, what the story. Oh, yeah, yeah. So it was just really, it's just really exciting. And we've done nothing. Like, God's just been doing this, like, and he's really knitting our hearts with these people. Like, we can't even help ourselves. So I love prayer for this Saturday. Like, those who are supposed to come to this neighborhood event will come. Their hearts will be excited to hear how Jesus wants to be their brother, how God wants to adopt them into his family, like, all of this. And pray that we'll be clear about what we want to say. Like, we're planning it out, but there's so much to say, right? You get the opportunity, and you're like, and we don't want to give a jumble, and we know that this is all, like, adoption and the gospel are going to be probably, for almost everyone in the room, like, really new things to talk about. So, so please pray for us on Saturday, 2 to 4. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Art. Yeah, Daichi and Erica, actually, they have a cafe about 2 kilometers from us, and we went there and for the first time, and they were talking, and you know, we told them about our Hikikomori project, and they said, oh, we want to help. I go, okay, yeah, we've heard that before. And they said, oh, no, no, we, in Osaka, we spent many years helping Hikikomori, so we want to help. Wow, okay. These are like some of the closest neighbors that we have. We've got a really good relationship with them. So God's really brought us all the support that we need, financially, support in the community, our neighbor, I mean, our neighbor's over almost every day helping us get ready for winter. I'm like, we'll be all right. He says, listen, you tell me your opinion after your first winter here. He said, I don't think you understand how much snow there's going to be. So we have so much support, and we're so thankful. One of the biggest supports God gave me early on was Jonah, who's actually one of my best friends, and I met him at Men's Connection. The first night we came in, he was a little bit in tears and distraught, and God just put it on my heart to pray for this guy. And, you know, I didn't know him, I'd never met him, so I prayed for him for 2 or 3 weeks, and he didn't come to the next one, and then a month later I saw him, and I said, man, I've been praying for you, how are you doing, you know? And so anyway, we connected, and he's actually the guy that introduced us to the guy who got us our house. We literally wouldn't be where we are without Jonah. So Jonah kind of found us our house indirectly and has done all kinds of support stuff in terms of like Japanese stuff that we can't do every day. And he's been a huge blessing. It's just like, wow. And also, I haven't had made a friendship this close since college. And so it's been really awesome. And we were talking, and you know, I said, he was a hikikomori, he's a Christian, he's Japanese, so he's more equipped to reach people here than I am, really. You know, we have the idea in the ministry in the house, but really a Japanese Christian who has been hikikomori is even, you know, they're able to connect more. So, Jonah, for the last 18 years since he came back from America, has been struggling with depression. And when he came back from Japan, he had a falling out with his parents, where basically he lost all their trust. And he was hurt so bad that he's not made a relationship. I'm the first person that he's been close with since before he moved back here. And he's very gregarious, very outgoing, really can connect with everyone, and knows a lot of people because he's worked a lot of jobs and worked at 7-Eleven. And when he's happy in who he's supposed to be, he's just amazing to be around. But then sometimes he just can't do it. And he goes into the withdrawal, which I've been part of. I've had the experience. The phone rings, and your heart rate goes up, and you just can't answer the phone. And you can't leave. And he just can't come to work. And so one of the things that actually, we took him on as a ministry partner, which is, an outstanding idea. He was going to get a part-time job. And I said, what if you didn't need that part-time job and you could just do ministry? Would you do it? I said, sure. How much money do you need? Great. Well, we raised the money. And so we're giving him that money monthly, which is awesome because right now he can't work. So if he had had the part-time job, he would have lost the part-time job. But so right now, really, he said, well, just don't, I don't want to take the money because I'm not sure I'll be able to come. And I said, this isn't about money. Just take it as a gift. Take it as a gift and work on yourself and recover. And he's dealing with depression. He's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we have another friend who just moved to New Zealand. This is suffering from the same things. And so he got a counselor, and he went to Elijah House, which is a prayer ministry in Hokkaido. And so it's like, wow, God, you've already shown us the resources for Jonah. And so we've got Jonah into counseling, and he's done that 4 times. And we've got him in, we set him up for Elijah House. He's asked the pastors if it's okay. They said, sure, doesn't seem like a cult. Go ahead and do it. And he's been dragging his feet. I'm just going to get, we're a family here. I don't know that you'll ever meet Jonah. You may. But I'm going to get a little bit intimate with the details. So Let's keep this in, as a family. And the reason I'm doing that is because he has zero support, zero people praying for him that know anything about the situation except for me, my wife, and his wife. That's it. Because in Japanese church, you can't be this honest and this exposed. He just doesn't feel like he can. So I lost my train of thought. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, his father was abusive. He was a pastor. His father was abusive. He went to school in a very, very, what school did he go to? Pensacola, Florida. Very, very rigid, lights out at 10. Just really not a happy, joyous, and free place. When he came back, he went to a Japanese church where you weren't supposed to have hobbies. Everything you do is for God. You shouldn't have hobbies. All your free time should be used for God. And so he's really had a lot of, like, letdowns. His father was a pastor and abused him, really let him down. His school in America wasn't very doctrinally sound. And then the church that he came back to was kind of crazy and wanted to control his life. And through all this, he has faith, good faith. And it's like, he said to me in September, I felt so good. I felt so good. And it was a great month for us. We were working together every day. You could just see the life springing out of him. So I felt so good. I know that was a mistake. I can't feel that good. That's not possible. I said, Jonah, why are you a Christian? Because God is almighty and he deserves to be worshipped. I said, yes, but we're supposed to be happy and joyous and free. Do you understand that? And I don't think he really feels assured that God wants him to be happy and wants him to be free. And so there's a big doubt there. His father is senile. His father's done some horrible, horrible things. I'm not going to go into that. But Jonah is like the nicest guy in the world, right? Like, you look at me and you're like, eh, that guy's okay. Like, he's probably pretty mean. And I am sometimes. But you look at Jonah and you go, there's not a mean bone in that body, right? He's basically said, I don't care if I see my dad again until he dies. I don't really care about his salvation. Has so much hate that he's been carrying around. And it's been destroying him. Been destroying him for 18 years. And so he said, I know God's unhappy with me because I'm not forgiving him and it's a sin. And I said, that's not what God sees. God sees his poor son holding on to hate and is weeping because all you have to do is let go and forgive. Now, forgiveness isn't for you to be cleansed, and it's for you to be free. You know? And so God put me in Jonah's life at a great time because he has no idea about psychology. They have, you know, when they sat down to me and said, why should we go to a prayer ministry? I said, what are your spiritual gifts? They don't know. I said, well, people have different spiritual gifts. My spiritual gift is encouragement and mercy. It's not prayer. These people's gifts are prayer. And they've devoted their whole life to prayer. I said, you go to people who have the strength of the power that God's given them. Not just to regular people. You can pray, but these people have a gift. So there's a lot of learning that they need to do. And for 10 years, the two of them have been living in a bubble. Just the two of them. Dysfunctional. And they have faith. It's crazy. I would have given up faith so long ago, but they both have real, real, real faith. And they're both still trapped because they don't really know what the Christian life's about. They don't really understand what God wants for them. They don't understand that if they free themselves of the chains and the bondage that they're in, that there's just going to be beautiful. And so I just know that God's going to radically change Jonah and give him such vibrancy and such life, he's not going to be able to keep his mouth shut about God. You know, let me tell you about what Jesus did for my life. I've been in misery the last 18 years, and all of a sudden I'm free, and God can do this for you too. And so please, please, please pray. You know, why are you a Christian? You have no, but no one, you're not part of like a real church body that's supporting you. You don't have any connections. It's not the way the Christian life is supposed to be. And so let's be his surrogate family. He's God's going to do such great work through him. He's going to save so many people through him. And I love him. So please pray for Jonah.
Hello, my name's Jim. This morning, Aya Ono gave a testimony about what you've been telling about the cafe and the plans and the meeting. And what impressed me was I was moderating, and she said, I have a testimony. It will be 8 minutes. I thought, wow, you've prepared step by step by step. So if you're preparing for what you're going to say, please do what Aya did, because she had notebook, smartphone, Bible. I thought, do you need all this? And she did. She went from one to the other, because she had it planned very carefully. So the morning service congregation know, and they're praying for you too. I'd just like to tell a small thing. About 4 or 5 years ago, I had real trouble. If I was sitting down and listening to anything, I'd just fall asleep, like church or a meeting or anything. It still happens. But at that time, I thought, I'll get these really strong mints, and I can have, and I'd get through one whole packet, in about half an hour. And it was okay for a while, but then I remember I was talking to Roy, and his head was going, and I didn't know what was happening, but I sort of pretended it was normal. I was going, yeah, yeah. And it was kind of zigzag rainbow around him.
What kind of mints were
they? Would you like to get them? I can put you onto someone if you like. And I remember I was teaching maybe the week later, and I was teaching a class of students. I looked around and I thought, they all look like they've been painted by Picasso or something. It's like two eyes on one side, and again the zigzags, and I was thinking, but again I just thought, pretend everything's normal. They look very strange, but and when someone said, I don't know how, but I knew that I had, that the mints probably were the trigger that caused it. But since then it's been with me, but just every, maybe once in 6 months. Last Tuesday morning, I was in class, and again about 15 students. Now we were reading something. I thought, it's getting harder and harder to read. And I looked up at the students. I thought, oh, there they are with the zigzag rainbow. I thought, oh. So I sat down and said, oh, I need to tell you something, that I have this condition. It's called migraine with aura or halo or something. And this is what it is, but I think I'm okay, so we'll just keep going. And I just kept going, and after about 30 minutes, it goes, and you're kind of left with a kind of feeling of a hangover, like not a real headache, but it's like something happened. And afterwards I was walking back to my office, and I saw a colleague, a British friend. I was telling him about this, and he said, oh, I have a bit of a kind of mental struggle. When I focus on something, I neglect relationships, whether it's at home or whether it's with colleagues. And that was the first time we have offices next to each other, but we haven't got close. And I think the fact that I was able to be open meant he was able to be open. And I realized that very often, maybe we do tend to, maybe except for art, maybe the most of us, if we've got a struggle, we tend to keep it inside. When sharing it, maybe a blessing to other people around us too. So I was really, my student said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Well, as okay as I'll ever be, but don't worry about me." But anyway, thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen. So I'm working for Anaikaiwa, and a few months ago I had this senior high school student, and he refused to go to his high school. But after a few weeks, he said that he told his mother he wants to come to my English class. So I felt really like blessed, but also I was hurt because for him, because you know, he wants to go to my English class, but he doesn't want to go to the high school. So he's going there for 5 days a week, and it might be a really struggle for him to adapt and to maybe blend in. And last Friday, I had another student, sixth grader, same condition. He stopped going to his elementary school for 2 months. And then my manager told me the day before that that's the case as well. And then they've been labeling it as mental health. But after I talked to the students, they don't have any problem. So it really hurt me. They don't have any problem, especially this sixth grader. I asked him to draw as part of the Aiken practice, writing practice. So, okay, let's draw about your experience in New Zealand. And he drew very beautifully, nice colors. And I'm reading researches about children's drawings and everything about children because I love children. So they've been telling these kids that they have mental health problem, but they really don't have any problem. So please pray for the children and for the Japanese youth because they've been exposed to a lot of foreigners. And I think they know the difference between the Japanese society and maybe the freedom that they don't have because of this self-limiting rules that they have. So it really pains me, but same, I ask myself, like, why am I here? I know there's a purpose. And we should really never underestimate the ordinary days, the normal conversations that we have, because we're planting seeds every day to the lives of the kids and the people we meet. So that's the time, you know, come to think of it, after 2 months they will think that, oh, I want to go to the English class. Like, why? They don't want to go to the high school, but they want to go to the English class. So they felt something within themselves. So we should be the life. We should be love. We shouldn't just preach, but we should be the life and love, and people will feel Jesus from us. And through our actions, we will be witness. We will be the witness of Jesus and his love. So it's very powerful, and I hope we pray for the younger generation of Japan. And yeah, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
I'm back. I'm Art. I was talking to John Clendenin, who's our team leader, and we were talking about the Japanese church and how there's some dysfunction in every church. But, you know, I never really wanted to plant a church, but the more that I'm realizing God's plan, the more there's going to be one in Owasso or in Kita, Hiroshima. And it's probably going to spring from society, from a community that we form into a church. And as we were talking, I just kind of got a message from God. Radical love, radical acceptance, radical vulnerability. And I thought to myself, okay, Jesus had radical love and radical acceptance, but radical vulnerability, he can't share his sin because he doesn't have any. How are we vulnerable? We share our sin and our struggles, and it helps people. Oh, wait, Jesus was super vulnerable because he's God and he came down as a human. That's as vulnerable as you can get. Giving up your power as the almighty creator of the world, of the universe, to come down and live amongst people. And the Bible tells us there's nothing special about Jesus. He wasn't good looking. He wasn't charismatic. He was just a regular dude. That's super, super vulnerable. And I just remember the first time growing up in church, you didn't hear a lot of people about struggles and stuff. So you look at all these older people and you go, well, they've got it together and I don't. And we were in a men's retreat and somebody said, I'm struggling with lust. And I thought, you are? Wow, that makes me feel like there's hope for me. You know, I don't think it's helpful to not share your struggles. I really don't. I'm a big, big, big proponent of confessing, of sharing how weak you are. It gives other people strength. And so I encourage you to be vulnerable and to love fiercely and to accept everyone.